Calling all seniors, it's never too late to be a teenager. Puzzles, recipes, birthdays, memories, and much more are found in the Teenager newspaper. Teenager News is published for senior citizens as an outreach ministry of Catholic Charities. Subscribe for free by calling 312-655-7425. That's 312-655-7425. Or email teenager@catholiccharities.net. That's teenager with a K, teenager@catholiccharities.net.
Ever think of donating your car? You can donate a car that you no longer need to Catholic Charities. The donation will help needy people throughout Cook and Lake Counties. Donating your car is easy. Call us at 877-786-GIVE from anywhere in the country. That's 877-786-4483. Pickup is free. We do the paperwork and you get a tax deduction. Catholic Charities accepts cars, trucks, vans, motorcycles, or boats in almost any condition. No need to pay hefty repair bills. Avoid the hassle of selling. Calls taken 7 days a week at 877-786-GIVE. That's 877-786-4483. Or go online to CatholicCharities.net.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection. There are 44 Archdiocese of Chicago Catholic cemeteries willing to help you in your time of loss. Call 708-449-6100 or visit CatholicCemeteriesChicago.org. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
You're listening to Relevant Radio, 950 AM, 930 AM, and 1270 AM. Talk radio for Catholic life. Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that touch our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m., 930 a.m., and 1270 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to Marriage and Family Matters, the radio show of the Marriage and Family Ministries Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago. I'm Frank Hannigan, and with me this morning is Kim Haggerty, and today we're going to be talking about a wonderful Chicago institution, Misericordia Home.
And we're so lucky today to be talking with Sister Rosemary Connolly from Misericordia Home. I was trying to think of a way to describe you, Sister Rosemary, and I just had to go with you're a Chicago superstar. And people may have seen you last week on TV leading a delegation to Springfield to talk to our legislators about taking care of our most vulnerable citizens. So thank you so much for being on the show today, Sister Rosemary.
I'm very happy to be with you, Kim, and also with Frank and Jim. You know, it's an honor to be able to talk about Misericordia, and I feel one of the greatest blessings of my life has been the fact that I have spent the past 47 years at Misericordia South, and then 40 years ago we opened Misericordia North. So it's been a wonderful journey filled with believers who really believe in our children and adults. So we have been truly blessed.
Absolutely. And what a blessing you've been to so many families and to so many folks here in the Chicagoland area. Can you tell us a little bit for our listeners who may not be familiar, and I really doubt that there's anybody out there who's not familiar with Misericordia, but could you give us just a little overview of, you know, Misericordia's mission and what you try to do?
Well, I do believe that God is using us to witness to the world that there's still so many good and generous people who want our most vulnerable population, such as our children and adults who are all developmentally disabled. Some are tremendously physically challenged as well. you know, we stand in witness to the fact that they deserve not only the right of, to life, but one worth living. And that's what Miss Recordia is all about. And we are so blessed. We do three things well. The children and adults truly live good lives, happy lives. They're happy people. They call us forth to, you know, recognize the human, the limitation of the human condition. And yet, because we are believers, we know that they're on a journey, we're on a journey, and that journey will leave, I mean, they'll have a wonderful place in heaven, but we're not waiting for them to get to heaven to have a good life. That's what we're all about at Misericordia, to have a life that they enjoy, full of dignity, love, respect, and challenge.
Sister, how did you get into this field? Were you, did you have somebody in your family who had Down syndrome or somebody, a relative or something like that? How did you get involved?
Well, I do have a nephew, Brian, who was born with cranial stenosis. Mm. And at that time, they did not do surgery until Brian was 9 months old. So he is brain damaged, and he is here at Misericordia at this point. You know, I watched my sister and brother-in-law when Brian was born in 1959. There were no programs available. It wasn't until the mid-70s that a law was passed that said every child, no matter how disabled they are, deserve educational opportunities. And today, our parents of people with disabilities, especially children from, you know, the age of 3 until they're 22 years of age, they live good lives. But I became the administrator of Misericordia South, the only home we had at the time, because I was appointed by the Sisters of Mercy. And it was kind of a mystery why they appointed me, because there were always, in the past, nurses were the administrators. But I came with no experience in administration or special education or fundraising, but I did have a background in teaching and in social work, and I had degrees in those areas, so that helped me. But that appointment was one of the greatest gifts of my life, that the Sisters of Mercy would trust me to take on this responsibility.
And I think it's important that our listeners know that Frank and I have Misericordia connections. Frank's brother was at Misericordia for a little bit many years ago, and my daughter Beth was at Misericordia South for almost 3 years. Neither of them is with us anymore, but certainly the care and love they got at Misericordia made their lives so much better, and we're eternally grateful to you for that.
Well, thank you, Kim. I think in many, many ways we not only serve the children and adults, but almost as much we serve the families, because they really do love this most vulnerable member, and to know that they're in a place that is loving and caring and full of dignity and respect is a great gift to families. And, it's a challenge, it's a cross, but so much good comes from it.
There's no doubt about that. Having children who are, who grow up with the dignity and the love that Misericordia provides helps them to develop to their fullest capabilities, their God-given capabilities, whatever level that may be. And it's a true blessing, and the assistance that Ms. provides to the family members is just simply amazing.
Thank you, and it's a privilege to be able to do it. You know, our whole philosophy is we do not take your child from you, we share your child with you. We have 20% of our population, though, that have no families or come from extreme poverty. And that's a very important part of our mission, too.
Yeah, I know when I would go visit Beth at Ms. South, which was every day, there were a few kids there that didn't have any family members that would come. And you get so attached to them so quickly. I mean, some would be in the same room as Beth. And I know some of the kids that were maybe a little higher functioning, I could read a book to them or talk to them a little bit while I was holding Beth. So it was so nice to get to know all these other kids. And I'll never forget something you said with a parents association originally, that for the new parents, that sometimes it can be really hard to come to a place like Misericordia because it's hard to see the kids like this. But there's a reason. God made these kids for a reason, and we're going to learn what that reason is, and we're going to be tough, and we're going to go. And with that, we've got to take a break. So we'll be back in a minute with Sister Rosemary Connolly from Misericordia Home.
Thank you, Jim.
We invite you to watch Catholic Chicago, featuring a conversation with Archbishop Blaise Zupich and video highlights from across the Archdiocese. Here's host Todd Williamson.
Catholic, Jewish, and Muslim children take part in a program that promotes understanding among people of different faiths. African American heritage is celebrated at Holy Name Cathedral, and we'll talk to Archbishop Blaise Zupich about the beautiful liturgies of Holy Week.
Watch Catholic Chicago Friday at 7 p.m. on Chicago Loop Cable, Channel 25, and Sunday at 3 p.m. on the Comcast Network, Channel 100.
All right, everybody, let's pray the rosary.
Don't forget to say grace.
We have to do what God wants us to do.
My mom laid the foundations for me to discover God.
How does this bring you closer to God?
The path to holiness is in doing God's will.
If you are called to be a priest, that's how you will be fulfilled.
My mom helped me get through difficulties in my discernment.
Think of the big picture.
Keep things in perspective.
Are you praying?
My mom played a huge role in my journey to the priesthood.
She still does.
Our moms nurture our vocations.
Without my mom being who she is, there's no chance I'd have entered the seminary.
My mom says she had a feeling I would be a priest.
To hear the call of God, we need to be in a position to hear it.
Hearing God starts at home, with the family.
Thank you, Mom.
I would not be at the seminary if it wasn't for you.
Our seminarians were encouraged by their parents to discover God's call in their lives. Do you encourage your son? St. Joseph College Seminary, the best place to discern. For more information, visit cometojoseph.org.
This is Frank Hannigan, and I'm back with Kim Haggerty on Marriage and Family Matters. And we're talking today with Sister Rosemary Connolly from Misericordia.
Sister, what's the bias against big institutions?
The bias has gone on, you know, for many, many long years. There's an attitude, and there's a group of opponents to Misericordia who really have influenced the government bureaucracy in regard to services for disabled people. They hold that there's only one way to serve people with disabilities, no matter how disabled they are. And even when they walk through our skilled nursing and see how involved the children and adults are, and in different areas of Misericordia, we have some adults who are functioning between the ages of a year and 5 years of age, and then we have our higher functioning people and everything in between. But, you know, they hold that no matter how disabled they are, they belong in isolated houses in the neighborhood. And they hold there is only one way, and that Misericordia is an institution, not a community of believers, because of the fact that we have the full continuum of care, which from skilled nursing to 10 houses out in the neighborhood. The residents who live in the houses in the neighborhood are higher functioning than some of our severely disabled people. We know the staff, and they have the campus to complement their lives. It's very difficult getting jobs for them. Sometimes some of them have jobs 2 or 3 hours away from the campus and 2 or 3 days a week. In the typical Scylla, they go back to their homes, and they watch television all day. Here at Misericordia, we have the whole complement of services that they enjoy, so they definitely have a full life. Already, we've had to bring back 4 of our residents who lived in the Scylla's because their physical needs changed so radically that could not appropriately serve them, and they needed skilled nursing, and they were with us 3 or 4 years, and then they went to heaven and died deaths surrounded by family and staff who knew them and loved them. They feel they criticize us because the 10 houses that we have out in the neighborhood are within a 5-mile radius, because we know that they have to, our campus is so important to those living in isolated houses, because neighbors aren't knocking on the doors and saying, come out and play, and there aren't enough resources out there for them. So they enjoy all the resources here. But they deny that we're a community because of the fact that we don't permit the residents who have functioned so severely to have keys, and they go on with these unrealistic expectations that many of our 600 children and adults that we care for could never, never meet, or would the families want them to meet. And this attitude that there's only one way to serve people with disabilities is denying families of choice. And we have the best family organization in the country for people with disabilities, and sibling organization. And these families are so grateful, and they resent the fact that this one way is really denying them the right to choice.
You know, sister, in my own situation, my Beth was at less than newborn ability. I mean, she could
do nothing. They would want her out in an isolated house.
I mean, I just can't imagine that. And I know, talking to people, especially now, the trend, because Beth was there 30 years ago, is really keep them home, keep them home, keep them home. But for me personally, and for taking care of Beth, she did so much better when she was tube fed, when she was taken care of with other people. So when I could go visit her, which again, every day, and I bring the other kids with, we just got to hold her and have fun with her and just love her. We didn't have to do the really hard things and have her choking or having seizures and, you know, all the trouble that kind of went along with the disease that she had. We were so grateful for Ms. Recordia, and I really think it saved our marriage, and I think it saved our family.
I'm sure it did, and our families would agree with you. You know, they really do know that we don't take their child from them. We share this child with them, and that we are co-workers and co-missionaries. They share our mission. And, you know, it's so unfair to the families. And some of these opponents really criticize anyone who would place their child at Misericordia. And that's why we need this continuum of care. We're probably the only agency in Illinois that has it, from skilled nursing to houses out in the neighborhood and everything in between. So we can walk this journey with many, many families until God calls them home. And, you know, that's one of the real concerns of parents. Who's going to be there when they're not there? And we can be there for them, which is such a gift.
It certainly is something that puts the parents at ease, that they know that their child will be taken care of if they are to predecease. It amazes me, sister, that you mentioned that opponents to what Ms. is doing walk through and see the care, they see the skill that your staff can provide, and still oppose it.
A couple of them have come and said, "Oh, you're good, but you're bad, but you're big." So that's the big criticism. You know, we're big. We started Misericordia North with 39 children and 35 staff, and today we have 600 children and adults and 1,000 staff. And believers that are so involved with us, you know, they'll stand with us, though. I know they will. But whether we'll get these bills through will depend on the federal government. So we're working hard on that now.
You know, I don't want to sound crass, but to leave the market forces determine, you're big because you're good, because people appreciate and value what you bring and what you do to serve the residents there and to assist the families.
Well, that's why, you know, and we don't care what they want to do. Why do they care so much what we want to do? And we have never said we're the only way, but we want the government to recognize, in spite of what these bureaucrats say, that we are a legitimate one way to serve people with disabilities. And that's what this bill is all about.
And you were in Springfield last week to talk to the governor and to talk to the legislators about this.
We were, and all the leaders and the governor spoke so highly of Misericordia. We have many, many friends there, but the opponents do too. So they are determined that this bill will not be passed.
Well, you mentioned before that the governor mentioned if the state government could run as well as Misericordia, that would be a great thing. I think you'd get like 99% of the folks would agree with that.
Well, thank you. And, I'm glad he came out because the best tool we have to tell our story is a tour. And we invite everyone to come and have a tour. You know, we have nothing to hide. What we have, we are proud of because so many people have made it happen.
Sister, how has Misericordia changed your own life personally?
Oh, they have been such teachers. I'm still not as patient as they are. But they teach you so much, that the limitation of the human condition, they are witness to the fact that no matter what, you can be a happy person. And they are happy, happy people. They're so spontaneous. They're so much fun. They're great people to be around. And I feel like, my faith, the God of mystery, when I first came to Misericordia South.
Can you hold that thought for just a second? We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back, and we're going to continue our discussion with Sister Rosemary from Misericordia.
All right, honey.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Who am I? What does it mean to love? Why was I created? We'll address all of these great questions and more at Echo Chicago this June. Hello, I'm Dawn Fitzpatrick, Respect Life Director for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Echo Chicago is a Theology of the Body summer camp for teens and young adults. For the first time ever, the Archdiocese is partnering with Dumox Ministries to present a week of prayer, fun, and immersion in the teachings of St. Pope John Paul II. This exciting camp will take place at Benedictine University in Lisle, June 24th to the 30th. Registration is now open. Go to respectlifechicago.org or call 312-534-5355 for more information. That's respectlifechicago.org or call 312-534-5355. All of us feel an echo in our heart to explore God's original creation and His true purpose for us. Join us in June for Echo Chicago.
I'm Monsignor Mike Boland of Catholic Charities with an urgent message. Contact your elected officials today and insist that they work to pass a budget that can pay for social services. Our state social service network is quickly unraveling. Every day, agencies like Catholic Charities give critical help to our most vulnerable citizens. For 9 months, we have not been paid by the state for services they asked us to provide. Every 30 seconds, someone counts on Catholic Charities for help. Now we are counting on you to help us. Please contact your elected officials today and urge them to pass a budget that cares for the poor and most vulnerable in our communities. If you do not know who your elected officials are, call the State Board of Elections at 217-782-4141 and press 0 when prompted. You can also visit elections.il.gov and click on New District Official Search. Again, please call 217-782-4141 and press 0 when prompted. You can also visit elections.il.gov and click on New District Official Search. Thank you.
We're back with Sister Rosemary from Misericordia. And before break, Sister, you were telling us how Misericordia changed your life personally. You want to go on a little bit more with that?
Surely. When I first came to Misericordia South in 1969, where Kim had her baby, Beth, we had 132 little children under the age of 6. It was a time because there were no programs for any child except those that tested educable, which is a high IQ for us. They were told by professionals to place their child to get on, especially those that were severely disabled, physically disabled. And I used to walk the halls at night, look at these beautiful sleeping children, and say, why, God, why any child? And that went on. I thought, this isn't productive. I have to stop asking why. So I said, yes, okay, we're going to make it the best we can for these children. But then I told a priest once, a friend of mine, how I felt with and how hard it was to really be in touch with the God of mystery. And he said, you know why? Because you want to control God. You must let God be God and not the God of your expectations. And, you know, that made me really come in touch. And our children and adults, now that we have adults, too, they teach me how to really live life on God's terms. You know, asking why for some of the happenings of life have no answers. But mm-hmm. what I have found, so many answering people, people who are believers and really and truly are the incarnation of God's presence, God's love in our world today. And these people, our staff, we have 1,000 staff now for 600 children and adults, and they are answering people. They're doing God's work. We have so many volunteers. We have our families. We have our you know, people that come and spend time with us, people who support us. They're all answering people. They're doing God's work. They're showing God's love. They are God's presence in the world of Misericordia. So I feel so privileged to be walking this journey with these very, very special people who are answering people. Our children teach us so much.
Absolutely.
You know, how extraordinary the ordinary day is. Even those that have never walked or talked, they smile and they show us by their eyes. And they can scream, too, if they're not happy. So, you know, we are so blessed to share life with these very, very vulnerable people who show us to live life on God's terms, and they do it so beautifully.
And we're so appreciative to you, Sister Rosemary, for doing that. And I do want you to know that there's been a kind of a something going on with social media where you've had different kind of famous people pose with pictures of cookies that they've gotten from your bakery at Misericordia.
That is right. That's Paula Conrad's project, and she does that all over Chicago and elsewhere, and she's one of our dearest former staff who worked so hard for us as a volunteer.
Well, we've got everybody at the Meyer Center for the Archdiocese has been posing with pictures over the past few weeks, posing for pictures with the cookies over the past few weeks.
Thank you.
So we're going to be posting all that when the show airs that day. And we do want people to know that they can help, you know, help Misericordia by volunteering with Misericordia. And I'm going to spell the name quick so that people can find you
sure.
on the internet.
Thank you, Kim.
It's Misericordia.com, MISERICORDIA.com. And, Sister, it's just been wonderful talking to you today. We're kind of running out of time. There's so much we could talk about. But I want to tell you that on behalf of parents of Misericordia residents, past, present, and yet to come, I want to thank you so much for your work and devoting your life to Misericordia.
Well, thank you, Kim. It's been a privilege and a blessing for sure.
Well, Sister, we'd like to have you on the radio again sometime in the future. Thank you for your great work. We wish you all the best success with what's going on down in Springfield, and certainly the Candy Days are coming up as well, and we hope that's a successful weekend as well for you.
Thank you so much, Jim. God bless you all and your wonderful work.
Take care. Goodbye now.
Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next month on Marriage and Family Matters.
Join us every Monday through Friday at this time for the Catholic Community of Faith. You can stream our programs live or download past programs by going to our website, archchicago.org, and clicking on Radio TV.